Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danker, Variety Jacdition, Ryan Huang with you. It is time now for Why It Matters, where we will be talking about specs galore.
Yes, indeed. Three specs are making their debuts in Singapore this month as the blank check company framework gets a reboot in Asia. We're talking about Vertex Technology Acquisition Corporation and Pegasus Asia making their debut last week. Then we have Novotellus Alpha Acquisition, expected to start trading on January 27th.
Well, SPACs have been sort of fizzing out in the U.S. Stock exchanges in Singapore and Hong Kong are betting the vehicles will boost their allure to global investors and startups in the region. But, you know, you've got a bit of a lackluster debut for the first two blank check companies to list in Singapore. That's started to raise some questions about whether the excitement for such vehicles in the U.S. early this year will prevail in Asia.
Yes, indeed. What will happen here, too, is the question. We're joined now by Max Low, EY ASEAN IPO leader and Singapore and Brunei managing partner at Ernst & Young LLP. Good morning, Max.
Good morning, Bharati.
Thanks for joining us, Max. So last week, we saw these two blank check companies list on the SGX. We mentioned them. Vertex Tech Acquisition Corporation was the first to go on to SPACs, followed by Pegasus Asia the following day. However, we're seeing a timid start. How would you explain it?
I think it's still early days, and people need to understand what this is about. Because when the SPACs, they are essentially cash companies at this point of time. If all the cash that goes in remains only as cash, it's quite expected that the prices would not move very much. Everything happens, you know, really when the de-SPAC happens. That is when the target companies are, I guess, infused into or de-SPAC into the company. And that's when you have a real business and people will then make an assessment as to the pricing of these listed companies.
Max, you talked about understanding what SPACs are all about. Could you help us out and tell us the accounting challenges of SPACs? What are they?
Well, actually, there should be no specific accounting challenges because accounting standards are universal. What SPACs bring out are specific challenges only because of the way they're structured. And this would include how do you account for warrants, whether they are liabilities or equities. And that's a big story that has come out of the U.S. in terms of the regulators looking at it. But if you go back to the basics, it's still about the terms of the warrants and how they should be classified. And then, of course, when you do a de-SPAC, the question is raised as to who's the acquirer. In other words, is the listed company the acquirer or is the target company actually the acquirer? Because in substance, the shareholders of the target company end up being the majority shareholders of the entire group. So these are just two examples of accounting issues that need to be addressed and dealt with.
You mentioned how regulators in the U.S. are scrutinizing SPACs and have been doing so for the last year, at least, with greater intensity. They were looking at problematic operating company valuations, problematic disclosures. In Singapore, though, analysts have pointed out we have a different rule book. So how much of those problems would really influence the situation in Singapore, considering that there is a different rule book here?
Yeah, there are slight differences in terms of the rules that SGX has put up in terms of the framework. And I think it's somewhat influenced. It's got tighter guardrails in terms of how people should look at the SPAC transaction as well as the de-SPAC, including moratorium periods for the sponsors, which are slightly different. And this enables that interests are aligned and that sponsors also have skin in the game, just like any other investors who are coming into the de-SPAC or SPAC transaction, if you will.
But Max, you know, this definitely is going to sort of kickstart or bring out excitement where Singapore's IPO market is concerned. And there is a bit of competition with Hong Kong in that sense. What are your thoughts on this?
Singapore being a SPAC hub holds great potential. I mean, we know all the facts relating to that, whether it's a stable government or currency. We have a strong regulatory environment. We are a leading wealth management center. So absolutely all things are in place. The key to me rests on two things for SPAC: the quality and price performance of the target companies, and then the sponsor's quality, track record, and skin in the game. If you get all these things right and we execute it well, the price performance should be steady and sustainable, and hopefully that builds on itself for the Singapore SPAC market.
So how to increase the chances of all of that being executed well moving forward? You did say that there are certain areas that need to be looked into more closely. Expand on that and how exactly they can help the process along.
So first, of course, is the quality company or the quality target companies, if you will. You've got to make sure that these are, yes, fast-growing, perhaps some startups, but at the end of the day, these must be quality companies that come to market. The pricing part of it, we all know that in the private equity market, especially the tail end, sometimes the valuations are a bit robust, so we need to price it properly into the de-spec to ensure that investors also can make some money, I guess, you know, when de-spec transactions happen. And then companies have to make sure that they themselves are ready to be a public company. Internal controls, key reporting requirements, we've talked about accounting considerations, tax perhaps, and also resources to cope with new regulatory requirements, reporting requirements. And if these need to be reinforced, make sure we do it, because at the end of the day, it's just a different route to being a public listed company.
Any chance we can cross-reference all of this with what's happening in the United States, where we saw a boom, you know, even Grab was interested to get on board with that, and now it's kind of fizzled out. Why do you think so?
I think at the end of the day, in my view, these are good companies, but I did talk about the valuations. Because in a de-spec transaction, there's no book building like an IPO. The valuation is determined between the public company as well as the target company. Hopefully those are reasonable. But the problem is, if you had already gotten in private investors in a private capacity, if those valuations are very elevated, what do you leave on the table when you become a public company? I think that is the main challenge in terms of the price performance post the SPAC transaction.
Okay. Determining quality in this case is quite different, right, from determining the quality of a company when it's a regular IPO or any other model. So what would you say investors need to do in order to determine quality? What are the extra steps they have to take in the SPAC arena?
Well, investors obviously have to do their own due diligence in terms of any specific transaction, whether it's an IPO or a de-spec. In an IPO, of course, you get to see all these companies in terms of the prospectus and everything that's disclosed. Similarly, it should be in the case of a de-spec transaction. Even though the process is different, there are guardrails in place. And if you are not comfortable, really, in terms of executing the de-spec transaction, there's a way out, right? Just like sitting on a roller coaster ride, you have a last-minute exit in terms of wanting to vote in to the de-spec transaction. So diligence cannot be compromised. Just got to be careful with where you're putting your money in.
Yeah. Or some might say it's only for the brave, Max. We're on the line with Max Low, EY ASEAN IPO leader in Singapore, and Brunei managing partner Ernst & Young LLP. This is a bit of a broad-based question, Max. Right now we have new MAS guidelines in relation to crypto trading. What are your thoughts on, I don't want to use the word clamp down, but this sort of like focus on our trading on the MAS guidelines here in Singapore? Do you think that could have any effect on the potential sentiment when it comes to SPAC investing?
I don't think so. I think they're separate matters. If you look at the first three IPOs, if you will, in this space, there has been, number one, strong participation by cornerstone investors and institutional funds. The sponsors are all established asset managers, so hopefully, you know, they already have identified pipelines of good quality companies that they can bring to a de-spec.
Okay.
The only thing that is out there right now is, what is that portion of the investment that's reserved for individuals? And that, I think, it's not so easy to determine, because you want to drive success, but you also have to give the individuals a chance to do this investment. So that's where I think we will get better as we go along, and hopefully, you know, set the stage for us being a spec hub, just like we are a hub for many other things in Singapore.
Now, critics have been saying that spec sponsors have reaped big payoffs at a cost to later stage investors in some other markets. For instance, companies in the US that have gone public through specs have also experienced slumps in share prices. It is pretty common in the spec arena, apparently. To what extent can we prevent things like these from happening here in the Singapore market?
Again, it's back to the quality of the right. target companies and how they're sustainable.
Back to fundamentals, yeah.
Back to fundamentals. There's no compromise or short changing this, because if these target companies do not perform and the sponsors have already got paid, notwithstanding the moratorium, what's the long-term future of these companies and how are investors going to reap any benefits or returns? That's still the fundamental question, Bharati.
Crystal ball time, Max, talking about that third SPAC, Novotellus Alpha Acquisition. I believe they are expected to begin trading on January 27th. That's on Thursday. Do you think we'll see a timid start as well?
Well, I don't know what you mean by timid start. If you want a first day pop, I don't think that's something that is expected because, as I say, they still remain as cash companies. But there could be excitement because all these sponsors, as I say, are asset managers and funds and... There is anticipation that they will have good target companies as a pipeline to bring into the de-spec transaction. So let's watch and see what happens.
Another issue that constantly is making headlines is interest rate hikes. They are expected to go up in the coming month. All forms of speculative and risky assets like tech stocks and crypto obviously going to be getting hit. To what extent will these influence the SPACs market as well?
It will influence. I mean, just like inflation. Bharati, you talked about interest rate hikes. So all these are various factors that will come into play, not just for SPAC transactions, but for IPO and the broader market. So it's just macroeconomic factors that everybody needs to take into account in terms of how all the listings that are going to come about.
All right, we've been speaking with Max Lowe, EY ASEAN IPO leader and Singapore and Brunei managing partner, Ernst & Young LLP. Max, appreciate your time this morning. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you. Bye.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.